The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. This is our last broadcast of 2020. Hopefully it's the last of 2022. So I want to wish everyone a very happy 2021. Keep healthy. Please avoid getting COVID. We really want to have you listening to us. All right, let's start off with a little lightness since it's kind of a dark way to end the year. All in a day's work. And there's a cartoon of a couple sitting there. He looks like he's at a bar, and he's looking at the waitress, and he says, "Give me a scotch and a CBD oil." I guess that has something to do with cannabis. During recess, I sat on the bench with my first grade girls as they whiled away the time playing with my long ponytail. "Mrs. Rudiak, you are so beautiful," one of them said, and he then followed with the ultimate compliment, "You look just like a horse." Linda Road Rudiak, Castro Valley, California. A Reddit.com contributor named Simon explained that his extensive educational background came in handy when he worked in a store Santa, especially when he faced with a smart-alecky preteen. "When I asked him what he wanted for Christmas, he flatly said, 'Coal,'" recalled Simon. "Being a jovial spirit, I answered, 'Bituminous or anthracite?' Absolutely threw him for a loop," RD.com. "We have a team member called Jimmy, who has a habit of writing rude, dismissive messages to difficult customers. If they complain about Jimmy, we apologize and say he's been fired. Of course, Jimmy is totally made up. Before driving to the pharmacy, I called to ask, 'Could you tell me what your hours are?' The woman who answered the phone was very obliging. 'Well,' she said, 'today I work from 9 to 1, but tomorrow I work 3 to 6. And that's from Vonda Jeffries in High Point, North Carolina. I think we need to start calling it working from home and start calling it living at work. How true. These may be some of the more creative justifications for speeding that police officers have encountered. 'I wasn't speeding. I just got a haircut and it makes me look fast.' 'I thought the sign I-95 meant the speed limit.' 'I have a cold, and when I cough, my foot mashes the pedal.' The little girl I babysit asked if I have a boyfriend. I said, 'Not anymore.' And she said, 'Boyfriends are a waste of time.' Then she turned to her brother and told him, 'You're going to be a waste of time.' I hated going on job interviews until I raised a perfect answer to the question, 'What is your biggest weakness?' Is my interview skills. When secret Santas go rogue. Nothing says I love you like diamonds. Nothing says I drew you in a workplace secret Santa like Starbucks gift cards. A colleague has just been fired for work, and someone else put her hand up and asked how it would affect the Secret Santa. 'I'm sorry. I thought a Secret Santa's job is to share all the secrets he knows about the person with everyone in the office.' To whatever coworker pulls my name in the Secret Santa drawing today, I'm a size 24 pack of frosted Pop-Tarts. A Secret Santa is very disappointing if you're self-employed. The food on your plate. I am onions, tearfully delicious. In 1955, a farmer named Vince Kosuga had a villainous idea. He would corner the market on me, the common onion. Kosuga set about buying up all the onions in the country, storing millions of pounds of me in the cavernous corrugated warehouses he built in his New York farm and around the country. Then he bought up all the onions that were still in the ground, too, in the form of futures. As you might expect, Kosuga took advantage of his monopoly by raising my price. Then he flooded the market with his stockpiled, and by this point rotting, wares, while making bet after bet in the commodities market that the price would drop. By the time Kosuga had made his fortune, $8.5 million to be exact, a 50-pound bag of me cost less than the sack I came in. The Great Onion Corner was a devastating moment for the onion-eating American public, and for onion farmers, too. Congress subsequently passed the Onion Futures Act, and to this day I'm the only crop for which it is illegal to buy futures. Lest you think the OFA is the only bizarre law associated with the pungent old me, in Dryersburg, Tennessee, for a time, one was not allowed to enter a movie theater without 4 hours of eating raw onions, and it was against the law in Lexington, Kentucky, to carry one or more of me in your pocket. Meanwhile, women in Wolf Point, Montana, were thought to be justified in forcing their spouses to eat raw onions if they were found drinking. Just sitting there in your pantry or in the produce section, I look innocent of all charges. Whether yellow, red, white, or sweet, like Walla Wallas and Vidalias, I am simple dirt-growing bulb, with stem and root ends and not a whiff of the stink that might cause you to write harsh laws in my name. But when you cut into me, the forensic truth reveals itself. I am an allium, a botanical genus that includes garlic, leeks, and chives. All of us basically built to defend ourselves via noxious, eye-watering fumes. When my cells are crushed or cut, an enzyme called alanase and another called lacrimatory factor, synhase, react via a molecule called syn-propionyl-S-oxide. To translate those fancy scientific terms, I fight back. The more I'm cut, the more vigorously I do so. Finely pureed raw onions will be more noxious than thick slices. Ring cuts will be more pungent than stem and root cuts, since pole-to-pole slicing damages fewer of my cells. Even knife selections make a difference. A dull blade crushes more of my cells than a sharp one, which means more tears on your cutting board. That combative tendency is what made humans fear me, along with garlic. When God tossed Satan from heaven, Turkish folklore has it, the ground where 1 foot landed sprouted garlic. The other gave you onions. But for the modern humans, with your hankering for pungent flavor and willingness to cry to get it, nearly every cuisine has repurposed me from bad omen to bedrock aromatic vegetable. Today, I play a cool role in stocks, soups, stews, braises, and sauces everywhere. In France, I'm a component along with carrot and celery of the ever-present Mirepoix. I'm a member of the Holy Trinity of the Cajun and Creole cooking, alongside celery and green bell pepper. And I'm pounded often in the form of shallots into that Thai chili paste. In Italy, I'm sautéed into sofrito that adds depth to everything from meatballs to bolognese sauce. In Spain and much of Latin America, they make a simpler base but spell it sofrito. The list of my uses in cooking is endless, and these aren't even my starring roles. See French onion soup, stuffed onions, caramelized onion tarts, and more. To you today, there seems to be only one rule about me. Eat me often, and in any which way. Pickled or boiled in soups and sauces, dried and pulverized into onion powder, raw on bagels and sandwiches, and in all sorts of salads. If you love raw onion but want less intensity, soak me sliced or diced in cold water, or wash me briefly in warm running water, or soak me in vinegar to make a quick pickle in 15 to 30 minutes. And, of course, cooking tames me, turning me into increasingly soft and sweet as any natural sugars caramelize, and the Maillard, browning, reaction takes place. Enjoy me grilled, sautéed, slowly sweated, caramelized, or roasted, or roast me whole in my skin directly on live embers. I don't have that thick paper exterior until I'm cured, by the way, which basically means dried. There is no culinary downside to me. Plus, I'm high in vitamin C and antioxidants, especially an anti-inflammatory one called quercetin. For avoiding eye irritation, there are tricks that work and tricks that don't. Chilling onions seem to help reduce the enzymatic reactions, as is avoiding the root end, which has a higher concentration than the stem end, or just get over it. It's all part of my acrid, controversial, entirely lovable package. Onion top puff pastry. Since a peeled medium yellow onion crosswise into 1/8 thick rounds, arrange in a single layer, seasoning lightly with salt. Brush with olive oil and microwave on high until the onion is very soft and turning golden with some brownish spots, about 15 minutes. Repeat with one red onion. In a small bowl, stir 5 ounces of fresh goat cheese and 1/4 cup milk until smooth. Season with pepper. Unfold 1 14-ounce sheet of defrosted puff pastry on a parchment-lined baking sheet, leaving half an inch border. Spread cheese and carefully top with onion. Bake at 400 degrees until pastry is puffed and golden and onions are more deeply golden, 20 to 25 minutes. Sprinkle with fresh thyme and rosemary and drizzle with olive oil into squares and serve. And there's a picture here. It does look pretty delicious. It's got a variety of colors, too, using red onions and regular onions as well. A new kind of birding. During the 19th century, the Christmas side hunt was a shooting competition. Whoever shot the most birds won. Then in 1900, an ornithologist named Frank M. Chapman had an idea. Instead of hunting birds, why not count them? The Audubon Society's Christmas bird census continues till today. We found a fix. 9 tricks to improve your life. And there's a picture of a very hairy, hairy, looks like an English sheepdog. The kind that has to brush the hair out of their eyes so they can see. Hair everywhere. Pets. So you've got a shedder whose weekly brushing sessions leave him tidy and well-groomed, but you looking like a shag carpet? Cut a pair of pantyhose into pieces, just big enough to fit over the brush's head, allowing the bristles to poke fully through the material. Your pup's fur will cling to the pantyhose instead of your shirt. Then simply toss the pantyhose for an easy cleanup. Penny test your tires. Auto. Figuring out if you really need those new tires the shop recommends can be tricky. What's more trustworthy consultant than Honest Abe? Slide a penny upside down into various parts of the tread. If you can see any of Lincoln's head, the tread is too worn and the tires do, in fact, need to be replaced. Bring back a lost browser tab. Tech. There's something especially maddening about clearing out dozens of open browser tabs and accidentally closing the one you actually need. Control-Shift-plus-T will restore the most recent tab you closed, as many times as you need. Mac users should hit Command-Shift-T. Car cup holders finally get help. Cleaning. A car's cup holder is perhaps one of the filthiest spots on the planet, and cleaning is next to impossible. One proactive solution. Put a regular silicone cupcake liner in there. It will catch all that dirt that could be taken out and tossed in the dishwasher for easy cleanup. Number 5, wrap the gifts and the tree. Well, this is a little late, but that's all right. Decor. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of fur. When putting the tree up this season, tuck a tree bag found at most hardware stores under the stand and skirt. When it's time to take it down, pull the bag up around the branches and carry it out and save yourself a clogged vacuum. Number 6. Know your oven's hot spots. Cooking. An undercooked, half-fudgy, half-raw batch of brownies is enough to turn any sweet tooth sour. Find out where your oven runs hot or cold by putting a cookie sheet lined with slices of white bread inside for a few minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Which slices have browned? Next time, you adjust how to place and turn your pans for even cooking. I never even thought about that. That's interesting. Number 7. Don't eat these travel points. Now is the time to redeem your frequent flyer miles, even if you're not ready to fly yet. With travel down drastically because of COVID-19, airlines are much more willing to let you use your points. You can now book almost a year in advance, when virus will have been tamed, hopefully, and lock in your vacation days. If plans change, you can get your points back without penalty. Number 8. Wrangle the tape. Nothing spoils a good gift wrapping rhythm like repeatedly having to dig your nail into the tape roll to start a new piece. Stick a paper clip at the end of the roll. After you tear a piece off this way, it won't cling back to the roll again, and you can easily find the point next time. Number 9. Cut calories with a spoonful of this. Research discovered a rice cooking method that reduces calories by 10% and potentially up to 50% for healthier varieties. Just add a teaspoon of coconut oil to the cooking water, then put the cooked rice in the fridge for 12 hours. The coconut oil fat transforms digestible starch into resistant starch, which we can't digest, so we process fewer calories. Cooling promotes the conversion. I guess then you reheat it when you want to use it. News from the world of medicine. Watch out for dangerous hand sanitizers. Liquid hand sanitizers could be one of the year's must-have health products. But beware, some of them are actually dangerous. The FDA has warned against those that contain methanol or wood alcohol, which can be toxic or even deadly if it's ingested. Other sanitizers contain less than 60% ethanol or isopropanol, the correct type of rubbing alcohols, which means they are not potent enough to kill many germs. Doctor's advice. Use soap and water whenever you can. It's still the best protection. Exercise excuses and heart meds. Just because you are taking heart medication doesn't mean you can go easier on other cardiovascular care. A Finnish study that followed more than 40,000 people over 13 years showed that people who started preventive prescriptions for heart disease were more likely to cut back on exercise and gain extra pounds, which might raise the need for higher doses of the drugs. Mixed messages on marijuana's effects. Now that cannabis is more available than ever, you may have heard of claims about its medical effects, good and bad. The truth is, because for years it was classified as an illegal substance, scientists don't yet have much firm advice about it. When it comes to your cardiovascular system, the two main active ingredients seem to have opposite effects. CBD lowers blood pressure while THC raises it. But regardless of how much or how little THC there is, inhaling marijuana smoke increases carbon monoxide in the blood, according to a recent statement from the American Heart Association. Regular exposure to substances to the substance has been linked to strokes and heart attacks, and more research may reveal additional risk. The AHA doesn't recommend taking cannabis via smoking or vaping. Overeating is okay once in a while. We all overindulge from time to time, and it's nothing to stress over. For a study that sounds more fun than most, healthy young men ate as much pieces as they could in one sitting, 3,000 calories on average. Their blood sugar didn't climb more than it would after a normal meal, and fat levels were only slightly elevated. Frequent overeating can lead to obesity, diabetes, and other issues, but the odd indulgence likely won't create major metabolic consequences. Better fibroid help. Uterine fibroids are a source of recurring pain for roughly 1 in 6 women. These non-cancerous tumors of the womb can cause bloating, painful sex, and constant feeling of needing to urinate, and difficult heavy periods. For years, hysterectomy, surgically removing the uterus, has been the standard treatments. But British scientists have been comparing two new womb-sparing alternatives that allow women to give birth, myomectomy, cutting out the fibroids, and uterine artery embolization, blocking the blood flow to the fibroids. The studies revealed that both provided relief, but compared with the embolization patients, the myomectomy patients had slightly better health-related quality of life at the two-year mark. Sweets can hurt mental health, and there's a picture of a gingerbread man. If you're prone to depression, you might want to say bah humbug to sugary holiday desserts. A new study from a team of clinical psychologists at the University of Kansas suggested that added sugars can trigger metabolic, inflammatory, and neurobiological processes tied to depressive illness. Coupled with dwindling light in wintertime and corresponding changes in sleep patterns, high sugar consumption could all result in a perfect storm that adversely affects mental health, according to the researchers. The researchers found that inflammation is the key physiological effect of dietary sugar related to mental health. A large subset of people with depression have high levels of systemic inflammation, said Stephen Yardy, co-author of the study. When we think about inflammatory disease, we think about diabetes and rheumatoid arthritis, diseases with a high level of systemic inflammation. We don't normally think about depression in that category, but it is. Not for everyone who's depressed, but for about half. We also know that inflammatory hormones can directly push the brain into severe depression. An inflamed brain is typically a depressed brain, and added sugars have a pro-inflammatory effect on the body and brain. The problem is worse this time of year. For many people, reduced sunlight exposure during the winter will throw off circadian rhythms, disrupting healthy sleep and pushing 5 to 10% of the population into full-blown clinical depression, Ilardi says. Where seniors get the wrong meds. One answer, in the hospital. 2 in 3 hospital seniors are prescribed drugs that should be avoided by older adults, increasing the risk of injury and adverse drug reactions. Improving hospital prescribing practices can reduce the frequency of inappropriate medications and resulting harm, according to a new study led by McGill University researchers. Get screened for hepatitis C. Hepatitis C is a liver infection that often goes undetected for years until serious complications such as liver scarring arise. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recently recommended Hep C screening for everyone ages 18 to 79, given that the medication now exists to provide safe and quick cure. Department of Wit, prowling for dust bunnies. Long before Marie Kondo, there was Roomba. And this classic from 2003, Mary Roach gives the robot vacuum cleaner a whirl. I have always wanted and not wanted a cleaning person. I want very much for someone else to clean our house, as neither I nor my husband Ed has any aptitude for it. But I'd feel guilty inflicting such distasteful drudgery on another human. No one but me should have to clean up the dental floss heaped like spaghetti near the wastebasket where I toss it each night, never catching on that a floss cannot be thrown with a high degree of accuracy. Imagine my joy upon reading that the iRobot company has invented the Roomba. The website plays a clip of enlarged CD Walkman scooting across the living room carpet, sucking up detritus. Meanwhile, Sentences run across the screen. I'm having lunch with a friend. I'm planting flowers in the garden. The point is that you can enjoy life while your robot cleans up the conspicuous chunks strewn about your living room floor. Reba joined our family last week. Right away, I changed the name to Reba, to indulge my fantasy of having a real cleaning person. He is still respecting the incredibly dumb-sounding given name. As gadget goes, it's surprisingly simple to use. All you do is tell it the room size. This I calculated in my usual manner by picturing six-foot guys lying end-to-end along the walls and multiplying accordingly. I was on my way out the door to enjoy life when I heard a crash. My vacuuming robot had tangled itself up in the telephone cord and then headed off in one other direction, pulling the phone off the nightstand. Maybe Reba needs to make a call, I told Dad. I couldn't be annoyed, as I'm the sort of person who gets up to go to the bathroom on airplanes without unplugging my headphones. Only that my head is attached to my neck prevents me from being yanked off onto the floor. Also tells you right there that the owner's manual to pick up objects like clothing, loose papers, power cords, just as you would before using a standard vacuum cleaner. The pose is something of a problem in our house. The floor plates along the walls and under the furniture in the office are filled with stacks of what I call Ed's desk runoff. My husband does not easily throw things away. Whatever he gets in the mail or empties from his pockets, he simply deposits on the nearest horizontal surface. Once a week, like the neighborhood garbage truck, I throw Ed's discard into the heaping landfill on his desk. At a certain point, determined by the angle of the slope and the savagery of my throws, the power began to slide. This is Ed's cue to shovel it into a shopping bag, which he then puts on the floor with the intent to go through it later. Later meaning, of course, never. Picking it all up for Reba would take half an hour, which is more time than I normally spend vacuuming. It's the same situation that has kept me from hiring an assistant. It would take longer to explain my filing system, take out menus and important contracts, go in the orange folder labeled B's, than it would to do with chore myself. The bathroom promised to be less problematic. I put the hamper in the tub and the scale in the sink, where it looked as if it wanted a bath, or maybe had a date with a vacuum cleaner. Then I went to the bedroom to fetch Reba, who was engaged in a shoving match with one of my Birkenstocks. She had pushed the shoe across the room and under the bed, well into the zone of no reach. "Good one," said Ed, who has always harbored ill will toward comfort footwear for women. I aimed Reba at the crud-paved crawl space beneath the footed bathtub. This met with Ed and various of my stepdaughters, but it always fails to produce desired effects. Reba was not only willing, but enthusiastic about the prospect, motoring full bore under the tub and whacking her forehead on the far wall. You just can't find help like that. The living room was a similar success. Reba does housework much like I do, busy cleaning one spot and then wandering off inexplicably and getting distracted by something else. iRobot calls this a logarithmic-based cleaning patient pattern, a term I will use in the next time Ed catches me polishing silver while the mop water evacuates in the other room. Halfway across the carpet, Reba emitted undelighted noises. Ed leafed through the troubleshooting guide. "It's a whimper beep," he said, in the concerned baritone that once announced the heartbreak of psoriasis, as if it were the Cuban Missile Crisis. Wound around Reba's brushes was a 2-foot strand of dental floss. Apparently even robots have their limits. Consumer Reports. Keep calm and come together. And there's a picture here of a whole bunch of people gathering, opening presents, looking at books, doing all the common things that families do together or friends do together. For the past 15 years, Maya Feller has thrown a Christmas Eve party for family and friends, translating her Brooklyn, New York home into a winter wonderland, and serving an elaborate sit-down dinner for up to 18 people. This year, she's tried brainstorming ways to safely hold a much smaller gathering, one that may include just her 71-year-old mother and stepmother traveling from Massachusetts and possibly step-siblings flying in from California. "We've given up on celebrating with friends. If we can see our close loved ones, we'll consider it a victory," she says. Across the country, countless farmers are grappling with similar situations as they try to pressure their holiday traditions without exploring themselves into coronavirus. In a Consumer Reports nationally representative survey of 2020 U.S. adults in September, only 36% said they plan to attend or host a personal season events with people outside their household. There's no doubt that this year's holiday season is going to be a challenge, says infectious disease specialist Dylan Griffin, MD, a clinical instructor at Columbia University in New York City. Unfortunately, that's going to continue into 2021, too. But with a little ingenuity and adherence to social distancing guidelines, there are plenty of great ways to keep the season celebratory, he says. Whether you're considering face-to-face gatherings or virtual ones, our expert advice can help. And I know this is a little late, but it's still a lot of things to know. Do in-person parties right. Your meeting bubble or pod, the people in your household who have been taking the same protective measures during the pandemic, can celebrate together without concern. For others, before you send out invites or reply to one, check COVID-19 rates in your area and in the communities of other attendees might be traveling from. You're looking for fewer than 10 cases every day, 10 cases a day for every 100,000 people, and a positive testing rate of less than 2%, according to George Abraham, MD, chair of the Infectious Disease Board of the American Board of Internal Medicine. You'll also want to know whether any potential invitees are at a higher risk for severe effects from the COVID-19. Normally, adults 65 and older with underlying conditions such as heart or lung disease or type 2 diabetes, which means they should rule out in-person gatherings with those outside their household for now. Even if the numbers are with you, manage the size of your guest list, tightening a good general rule of thumb is maximum of 10 people, including your household, says Maureen Miller, Ph.D., an epidemiology professor at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health in New York City. Then consider the following safe celebration tips. Give guests clear info. If possible, your guests that self-quarantine for 2 weeks prior to their visit, and then travel to your home in a way that reduces the possibility of exposure, says Daniel Schaffner, Ph.D., especially at quantitative microbial risk assessments at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey. You may also want to ask everyone to be tested for COVID-19 beforehand. Let invitees know you'd like them to wear a mask, except while they're eating or drinking, and to maintain social distancing, leaving 6 feet between themselves and those not in their household. And tell guests whether you'll gather outside, which experts say is much safer than an indoor event, so they can dress warmly. For colder areas, have extra gloves and hats and encourage guests to dress in layers, which they can remove and pack back on as the weather demands. Prep your home. Disinfect high-touch surfaces such as doorknobs and bathroom faucets, and place liquid hand soap, paper towels, and disposable disinfectant wipes in bathrooms. Stock up on face masks, tissues, and hand sanitizer to leave where guests can easily find them, such as the entry area to your yard, in the hallways leading to the bathrooms, and on tables outside. Pick your spot and time. Weather permitting, just about any outdoor space, a backyard, patio, covered front porch, core deck, or even a park or a campground can stand in for the additional dining room. In chilly climes, consider scheduling festivity for the afternoon when temperatures may be higher. Add a heat source. A portable wood-burning fire pit, which can cost from $10 to thousands, provides light, charm, and plenty of heat. It can reach 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter. But the smoke it produces can overwhelm anyone sitting downwind, and it requires open space away from combustible materials such as your house, your deck, and overhanging trees. A mesh cover can help prevent embers from floating away. A modular propane-burning version, $90, is well into the thousands, is easy to start and creates less or no smoke, but some don't generate a roaring flame. Celebrate in a park where fires are permitted, considering a small metal fire pit pole, about $40 to $570. One with a mesh screen will keep parts contained. Patio heaters, about $80 to $1,900, which may run on the same propane tank that fuels your grill, or another option. According to advertising claims, a 42,000 BTU floor-standing version can warm about 16.5-foot radius. An 11,000 BTU tabletop model covers a radius of about 5 feet. Feller's patio heater lets her host one family at a time in her front yard in cooler weather. We can't serve a 5-course dinner, but it helps us warm enough for an hour to enjoy some drinks and appetizers, she says. Draping those over blankets over chairs can also help guests feel cozy. Go for smart seating. Guests are more likely to stay outside and preserve social distancing if they're seated and comfortable, which can be as easy as adding a seat cushion to a metal or plastic folding chair. Sierra doesn't test these chairs, but the GC Outdoor Fire Pit Rocket 65 sounds appealing. It folds, has a spring that encourages gentle rocking, and has a sleeve to hold your drink. I assign everyone their own chair and arrange them so that each bubble of chairs is 6 feet from other bubbles facing the heat source. Have a separate table for each bubble or individual tray tables for each guest. Light up the night. String lights add a festive touch, but flashlights or lanterns may or a must to help guests navigate the area. You can suggest that invitees bring their own, but prepare to have a few on hand. Newer rechargeable lanterns from $5 to $255 should adequately light up the gathering. Leave lights on inside your home so guests can get to and from the bathroom easily. Have a simple, safe menu. Guests probably aren't expecting a traditional holiday dinner, so feel free to serve anything from individually wrapped sandwiches to takeout food, with a separate container for each household bubble. You can also have a platter for each group, or ask guests to bring their own nibbles. Skip sharing with other households, opt for disposable flatware, and serve drinks in individual cans or bottles, or a pitcher for each carb group. Trying to stick to non-alcoholic sips because drinking can make partygoers sloppy about social distancing. Think beyond dinner. Amp up the celebratory feeling with a hot cocoa and roasted marshmallow party around the fire pit or park campfire, says Danielle Alexander, owner of the Posh Five Productions, a Los Angeles event planning company. It's fun for everyone, including the older adults, because it evokes nostalgia, she says. Insulated canteens may ensure that the hot chocolate stays piping hot. Sierra doesn't test these products, but makers of Stanley Classic Legendary Vacuum Insulated Bottle, $45, say it will see 2 quarts of hot chocolate warm for 45 hours. Give each bubble an own container of hot chocolate, and make sure everyone has long sticks for roasting marshmallows so they can maintain their social distance. But skip the around-the-campfire carols or any in-person singing with those outside your bubble. Small particles released by those people sing could increase transmission of the coronavirus. Well, that's depressing. Do indoors with extreme caution. One indoor-outdoor option is gathering in an easy-to-ventilate area, such as a garage, leaving the roll-down door open. Another is renting or buying a tent for guests to sit under with the flaps open to allow air circulation. Some experts, such as Christine Kistler, M.D., an associate professor in the Division of Geriatric Medicine at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine in Chapel Hill, discourages indoor holiday gatherings right now. If you choose to inside to get together, keep it under an hour, open windows, and maintain mask wearing and social distancing. Columbia University's Daniel Crum Griffin says, try to seat each household at a different room or have them eat at staggered times. Ceiling fans may help give ventilation, but skip floor fans. They could inadvertently blow infected air onto someone, says Griffin. Consider placing humidifiers in a room where people are gathering, Kistler says. The virus that causes COVID-19 loves dry air, since the lack of humidity means infection droplets can remain airborne for longer. If you need more space and your home allows for proper social distancing, it may be reasonable to consider a small gathering in a private room at a restaurant or community center, but proceed with caution and make sure the state and local regulations permit it. Each household can eat at their own separate table, including high-risk grandparents, and everyone should wear their mask when they are up and about, Griffin says. If you choose to celebrate from a distance, you have plenty of ways to hold on to traditions and create new ones. A bit of creativity and simple tech tools will help it make it meaningful. This year, instead of visiting relatives in Puerto Rico, Rita Telado, a writer in Orlando, Florida, will be sending in polvorones, the dense, buttery cookies the family traditionally eats during the holiday season. If you're sending baked goods, choose those that are moist, firm, and hard, such as quick breads, cookies, muffins, pound cakes, and scones, says Nancy Farrell Allen, RDN, a spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Shipping temperature-sensitive items? Place them on an insulated cooler with packs of dry ice and pop the cooler into a sturdy corrugated cardboard box, says Angel Planella, RDN, another Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics spokesperson. Label the box, keep refrigerated. Pick a fast shipping option and let your relatives know it's en route. Choose a virtual meeting service. If you'd like to gather the gang for an online sing-along, meal, or toast, the Zoom teleconferencing service, where up to 100 invited guests can see and talk to each other on screen, is a great option. Attendees don't need to be tech-savvy or have an account, though you need one. One person with a Zoom account to host, email invites, and run your group chat. If you have a particularly tech-challenged relative, considering having a family member quarantined for 2 weeks, then join them in person to help. Zoom's title screen interface, think the Brady Bunch onto steroids, is fun and works on almost any computer or phone. Plus, you can choose a seasonal virtual background, such as an idyllic image of a snowy woods, to hide your cluttered bookcase. Zoom sessions have 40-minute limit unless the host has a $15 per month paid account. If you want free video sessions of an unlimited fruition, considering app-based options such as Apple FaceTime, which uses software into iPhones, iPads, and Mac computers, can handle up to 32 revelers. Cool Duo welcomes up to 32 iOS and Android users, and Facebook Messenger Room allows up to 50 participants. Glitch-proof your tech. A stable Wi-Fi connection is critical so that your Zoom call with the cousins doesn't stutter and freeze mid-conversation. Several days before your holiday gathering, measure the Wi-Fi signal in the room you'll be joining the virtual party from. You can do this easily at speednettest.net using your phone or laptop. You'll need only about 1.5 megabytes per second for a Zoom call, according to the company website. If your Wi-Fi tends to be unsteady in the virtual party room, try moving your router closely so that the signals aren't blocked by walls or doors. Another option is a mesh router. These devices excel at spreading Wi-Fi far and wide in your home while keeping the signal stable. Several $200 mesh routers have done well in our ratings, including the TP-Link Deco and Eero Home Wi-Fi, second generation. Put your party on the big screen. Why crowd around a laptop when you can see your virtual guests on TV screen? Here's how. Open the Zoom app on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. Then simply connect the device to your TV's HDMI input with a cable. Devices with a USB or Lightning port, as iPhones have, require an adapter. If you want to avoid dealing with cables and adapters, you may be able to mirror or display what's on your iPhone, iPad, or Mac computer screen on your TV with Apple's AirPlay. You'll need a TV with built-in AirPlay support, which many newer products have, or an Apple TV streaming player. Windows 10 computers can mirror wirelessly using a technology called Microcast. Similar, many Android smartphones and tablets will let you mirror or cast your screen so you can watch a Zoom meeting you've joined on your TV. If your TV doesn't support mirror casting, you can buy a Google Chromecast dongle, about $30, and plug it into an HDMI port on your television. That will let you mirror your screen from an Android phone. If you have a Roku streaming device, you can mirror from an Android or Windows device. Make it brighter and clearer. Optimizing lighting can be as simple as holding your end of the party near a window in a brightly lit room. A dedicated external webcam, which can cost anywhere from $20 to $200, can provide better image quality, especially if lighting isn't ideal, and allow you to fit more people in the shot. Sierra doesn't test webcams, but Logitech and Razer products, such as the Logitech StreamCam, have a good reputation. As for sound, the built-in microphone in your laptop may be fine for general use, but a separate USB omnidirectional microphone with noise cancellation, $12 to $250, may capture conversations from a group around a table significantly better. Get virtually playful. Challenge each other on online Scrabble or other games at a site such as Pogo. You can also view movies with far-flung family and friends via Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Netflix. With a Netflix party, invite virtual participants can use Chatbox to comment on The Grinch or other holiday classics in real time. Do together across the miles. Yearning for Aunt Judy's famous baked ziti? Using a service such as Zoom, she can do a live demonstration with so you and other relatives can make the dish at the same time, says Danielle Alexander at Posh at Five Productions. If you're the host chef, send the ingredients list to your guests a week before the event, or even include it in the invitation, so they can follow along, she says, or have everyone sign up for the same virtual cooking class. Dozens of options are available online. Finally, keep in mind that breaking with tradition right now might give you a break and a lift. For example, instead of waiting for the holidays to cook a traditional Puerto Rican Christmas dinner, Telado and her parents made the special meal in August, complete with roast pork, rice with pigeon peas, and coquito, which is something like eggnog, just for the fun of it. So celebrate when and how it works best for you. With safeguards, we're all just trying to get through the next few months and these big celebrations as well as we can, Telado says. As long as you connect with loved ones in some way, whether it's in person or online, that's all that's really important. And getting gifts there in time, and this is really not relevant because we've already gone past that stage. Practically painless ways to spend less now. You guys have the worst hold music. I've uttered that phrase countless times since last spring. Banks, airlines, insurance companies, car dealerships, I've heard enough Muzak to fill a lifetime of elevator rides. Everyone at Consumer Reports began working from home when the coronavirus pandemic swimming in our area. First, I went on a cooking spree, waking up comfit tomatoes and Peruvian stir-fry called lomo saltado. Then I began to tackle the pile of bills and mail on my dining room buffet. Then I began, the credit card come-ons, the offers of a lower mortgage rate. Financial matters have always overwhelmed me, so I put them off, a bad strategy. But I decided I could now do my regular work while on hold with customer service using my landline, taking work calls on my cell. It was as boring as it sounds, but so far I've saved or recovered thousands of dollars, mostly from refinancing my mortgage. I lowered my interest rate by almost a point with no fees or closing costs. It took only about a dozen phone calls. I also spent almost an hour suffering Delta's hold music to demand refund for a flight canceled due to the pandemic related to taped travel restrictions. I armed myself with CR's advice on how to get your money back for details. Go to cr.org/plane-refunds-1220. Turns out I didn't need it. A consumer service agent said sure right away when she finally answered. I called Amex to ask why I was slapped for a fee for a two-day late payment. What, no grace period? And why such a high interest? If they refunded the fee and cut my interest in half, and I transferred the debt I'd been carrying on another credit card for two destination weddings that I'd attended to a no-interest card from another bank, I plan to pay that off before the interest kicks in. Next up, getting my new home insurance quotes and making an online defensive driving course to lower my car insurance. Happily, the top of my buffet has returned into view. You can now cut through your clutter and save a small fortune, too, by taking the follow advice from CR's experts. And that's Mary H.J. Farrell. Use your tech tools. Get more music for less money. People used to buy CDs. Now they sign up for music streaming services. These services aren't terribly expensive. Spotify costs $10 a month or $15 for a family plan. But you have specialized tastes, such as classical music. You can and up to subscribing to multiple services and paying a lot more. One way to get around that is to use the free versions of music streaming services. Most have one. Usually you have to put up with ads, and you might have to listen to playlists or stations with the kind of music you like instead of changing to individual tracks. There are lots of ways to combine paid and free services, but there's one great approach. Start with the Amazon Music Prime. You may already pay for Prime, but fail to take advantage of all the music it provides. Music Prime offers 2 million songs on demand and ad-free. That's plenty for many listeners, though far fewer tracks than with other streaming services. But let's say you don't want to pay anything additional for music. Start with Amazon and add the free version of these two services, Idagio. That's IDAGIO. This is geared toward classical music. It's built for the genre from the ground up, designed to track titles that get complicated because of factors such as conductors, soloists, and individual movements in a larger piece. You can listen to Adagio's recommendations and playlist curated for different themes and moods without paying a dime, or stream the entire library free in a web browser. Idagio recommends music based on your taste as you use it and has features to help you explore composers and performances you may not have listened to much before. YouTube Music. The app lets you upload to 100,000 of your own audio files and stream them from your other services. If you have your own big music collection and want to access it from anywhere, the free version of YouTube Music can help. Cut the cord for $25 a month. Just a few years ago, almost anyone could cut the cable cord or satellite TV and save money by signing up with what we call at CR, called Cable Replacement Streaming Services. These services, such as Sling TV, offer local channels plus dozens of cable channels such as CNN and HGTV for around $30 a month. But just like cables, prices for these services have been steadily rising. Many now cost $50 a month or more. Now, thanks to the entry of some giant media conglomerates, there are several new streaming options that will let you spend about half that, and still get access to surprisingly robust assortment of broadcast channels, cable networks, TV shows, movies, and original series. Many people also want Netflix or Amazon Prime. If so, those fees into your total TV watching budget, here's what you do. Start with CBS All Access, which provides tons of sports, including NFL games on CBS schedule and Super Bowl 55, plus contents from other Viacom properties. Sorry, the print here is really fair. Such as BET, Comedy Central, and movies from the Paramount Library. Oh, there's also Star Trek, a lot of Star Trek, mostly priced at $6. Next, add Disney's new home to Lucasfilm, Star Wars, Marvel Studios, Black Panther, and Pixar, Toy Story, as well as the 20th Century Studios, The Simpsons, and the lion's share of the National Geographic. You can get Disney for $7 a month, but we think it's worth pairing for a bundle that includes Hulu, lots of broadcast channels, and ESPN Sports. Monthly price is about $13. Last, sign up for the ad-supported paid tier of Peacock from NBC Universal. You get NBC shows, Universal movies, sports, including the Olympics, and original programming, plus shows from Bravo, Sci-Fi, Telemundo, USA Network, and Universal Pictures. Monthly price, $5. We listed only a fraction of all the entertainment this three-part package provides. If you do the math, you'll see the actual total price is just $24, leaving you with an entire buck for popcorn. Make savings automatic. 37% of Americans have stepped up their savings during the pandemic, according to a recent Consumer Reports survey. That's in part because there have been fewer opportunities to spend on activities such as concerts, travel, or eating out. This underscores a crucial principle of how people behave financially. To make savings happen, you often need to be pushed into it or find a way to push yourself. That's why 401k plans are so effective in getting people to save for the employer signs you up and the money is deducted from your pay, as you don't even miss it, says Meyer Statement, professor of finance at Santa Clara University in California. If you don't have an employer retirement plan, you can go into your bank's account and set it online, its app, to create your own automatic payment savings program by shifting a regular amount from your checking account to a savings or brokerage account. Even if you must start small, you can gradually increase the amount over time. Some banks, including Bank of America and Chime, the latter a company that partners with banks and provides online banking services, offer programs that let you round up expenditures to the nearest dollar and stash the difference in a savings account. A number of financial apps offer similar roundup features. Save on energy, water, and repairs. Home maintenance to-dos. Shut off hoses and also insulate indoor pipes that run along exterior walls to help avoid a burst pipe. Pipe insulation costs pennies per foot, but a burst pipe and a cleanup that comes with it costs $5,000 or more. Check your roof. Look for leaks and loose shingles before they become a big problem. It costs about $8,000 on average to replace a roof, according to the Home Advisor, an amount that can climb far higher if you need to replace sheathing or framing as a result of a long-neglected leak or if your roof is complicated. Clean your gutters. Clearing leaves from your gutters is crucial every spring and fall, but you'll pay a bro about $150 to do the job. You can carefully clear your own gutters on a ladder, or if you feel unsafe, look for a telescoping gutter cleaning tool and attach that to a garden hose or a leaf blower. Water conservation. Fix leaks in toilets, faucets, and shower heads. The print is kind of faded here. Old and worn washers and gaskets are frequently the cause of faucet leaks. Take shorter showers and avoid taking baths, which use more water. Skip rinsing your dishes. Your dishwasher is designed to get rid of the debris. Just make sure you scrape off the extra food. Run full dishwasher loads and pair it with like towels in one load and sheets in another. Turn off the faucet when you're brushing your teeth or shaving, but keep it on while washing your hands so that you're not touching a potentially germy hands. Don't flush floss or tissues in the toilet. Throw them in the trash instead. Plus, you'll save money on plumbing bills. Don't hose down your car. Use a bucket and sponge instead. Systematically sweep your driveway rather than using a hose on it. And really, it's okay to have a little debris in the driveway. It's not like it's your living room. Energy savers. Install a smart thermostat or connected device that can automatically heating and cooling. You can save as much as 10% a year on heating and cooling by simply turning your thermostat back 7 degrees to 10 degrees Fahrenheit for more 8 hours a day from its normal settings, according to the Department of Energy. Skip the range and use your small appliances instead. For example, cooking a meatloaf in a full-size electric oven for an hour costs 24 cents, but cooking it in a toaster oven for the same amount of time costs 11 cents. Don't keep the fridge door open. Plus, let leftovers cool for no more than 2 hours before you put them in the refrigerator so that it doesn't have to work extra hard to cool hot food. Run your dishwasher at night when many utilities offer cheaper rates. If you're not at night hour, you can program it to start when you're sleeping. Use a high-spin speed in your washer to save time and money on drying, and make sure you clean the dryer lint filter before every load to improve air circulation. Plug air leaks around the house so that you don't lose cool or warmed air. And take advantage of the sun by opening your curtains on cool days, but close them on warm days when it's sunny. Save when you shop. Save over $1,000 on groceries. The average U.S. family trashes $1,500 worth of food each year. Here's how you can cut back on that waste. Be date savvy. Confusion over best buy, use buy, sell by dates causes 20% of food waste, according to the Food and Drug Administration. It's easy to think they mean throw out this on this date, but they have nothing to do with safety, says Amy Keaton, CR nutritionist. They're just a manufacturer's estimate of the window for best flavor or quality. Even some perishables, like milk and eggs, may be perfectly fine for days or weeks past the date. Make a meal plan and shopping list. Whatever you're cooking, make a list of ingredients you need, plus any staples, to save time and avoid impulse purchases. Don't be swayed by deals. You won't save by the 2-quart container of berries if you can't use all before they spoil. And you often don't have to buy multiples to get the 2 or 10-for prices. Buy from supermarket bins. This is especially good for move if you need a little of an ingredient for a recipe. Extend the life of fruits and veggies. Some produce does better in high humidity conditions, some in low. Some shouldn't be refrigerated at all. On many refrigerators, humidity in the crisper drawers is adjustable, and following division will help maximize freshness. Low humidity drawer apples, berries, grapes, mushrooms, peppers, and other ripe avocados, melon, peaches, and pears. High humidity drawer are broccoli, carrots, cauliflower, cucumbers, and leafy greens. Don't refrigerate onions, potatoes, tomatoes, and winter squash. Rescue on the edge of foods, wilted green and rubbery carrots can be revived by soaking in cold water. Cut away bruises on fruit, then slice and freeze. It's safe to eat newly sprouted potatoes that are still firm if you remove the sprouts, as well as the moldy hard cheese if you cut off the mold and 1 inch around it. Freeze leftovers that you won't eat in 3 to 4 days. Soups, sauces, even cooked poultry can be frozen. Use airtight, moisture-proof wrapping material, such as heavy-duty foil, freezer paper, or freezer weight bags, says Elizabeth Andrews, a professor at food safety at the University of Georgia and director of the National Center for Home Food Preservation. Pay less for RX meds. High drug costs pose such a problem that 15% of Americans have skipped filling prescriptions to save money, according to a recent CR survey of people who had a medical bill in the last 12 months. Before you take that step, try these ideas. Use your insurer's preferred pharmacy. Some pharmacies have arrangements with insurers to offer low prices on meds. Using out-of-network pharmacies could cost much more, says pharmacist Brian Caswell, owner of Walcord Drug in Baxter Springs, Kansas, and president of the National Community Pharmacists Association, which represents independent pharmacies. Ask the pharmacy for its lowest possible price. A CR Secret Shopper investigation found that doing so can net more savings. Some pharmacies will also work with you if you face financial hardship due to COVID-19 crisis, Caswell says. Find generic drug discounts without using insurance websites such as GoodRx, RxSaver, or good places to search for discount coupons you can use without insurance. A membership service, Scriptco, could also be helpful if you regularly take a medication and live in a certain state. Sign up for an annual $120 or quarterly $45 membership that will deliver drugs wholesale prices, substantially saving you hundreds of dollars a year. To see whether it's available where you live, go to scriptco.com. Keep tabs on your credit score. Your credit score can help you save, especially if you're applying for a mortgage or other loan. The highest your score, the lower your interest rate, which could save you thousands of dollars over time. The FICO credit score is the brand used by most consumer lenders, so focus on it. FICO scores usually range from a low of 300 to a high of 850. To get the best mortgage rate, you will probably need a score of at least 740, which is considered a very good score. A score of 800 or more is exceptional. Someone with a fair credit score might pay 3/4 to a full percentage point more for a mortgage than someone with a very good credit score, says Keith Gumbridge, a vice president at HSH Associates, which tracks the mortgage market. According to FICO's loan servings calculator, a borrower with an 800-640 credit score might pay $1,807 a month on a $400,000 30-year fixed mortgage, and a borrower with a 740 score might pay $1,628 a month. That's up to $64,000 more over the life of the loan for the borrower with a lower credit score. Improving your credit score typically takes time because you need to show a history of on-time payments as well as avoid using too much of your available credit. These factors alone account for 2/3 of the FICO score. Still, there are three main steps you can do to improve your score. Still, avoid canceling any credit accounts or opening new ones, which can hurt your score, says Abadala, a certified financial planner in Western Mass. Pay down outstanding balances and make all payments on time. Review your credit report periodically and fix errors you find. You can get free reports from the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, through annualcreditreport.com. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and I hope that 2021 is a blessed year for you and you keep your health and keep those around you healthy as well. So long, until next time, and thanks so very much for listening.